Welcome to Mind Walk, produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Radio Free Moscow, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
The first cut on this record has been cross-format focused for airplay success.
M13.
The finest ingredients are right in the mix.
Yesterday, I had my birthday.
How does it feel to be spaceborne again?
All is not well, Commander.
So I got up on the table.
Watch out for he.
Why doth the mark believe the rat has done it again?
Our tour begins in this ghostly gallery.
Moving creature has life.
He detests mortals.
What is continental to your
taste? M13.
On the earth wherein there is a life.
Rocking music.
Mortal.
Back in the focus, screaming and spitting at Uranium Willie.
Stick out crossways or something.
They fade away. I lose my work.
What's wrong with it? Stick out crossways or something.
So I got up on the table.
You rat.
I remember my work.
My power's coming.
I remember my work.
I fear the worst.
Electric waves of resistance sweeping through mind screens of the earth. A message of total resistance on shortwave of the world.
I got all the images any or whatever shit out. I got millions of images of me. You hick, you rat.
Yesterday, I had my birthday.
Your time is up, I will no longer play for you.
My goals are to seek the truth wherever it leads me, and I do think that's the goal of journalists, and I think we fell down on the job. What this president has done is really strike a match to the tinderbox that we all know is the Middle East. In this case, in the case of the president and his cohorts, I think they have really encouraged all of the horror that's going on. We have killed so many innocent people.
But you can't forget 9/11, 3,000 people.
But the Iraqis didn't do it. I don't believe in preemptive war, and it certainly is against international law. It's against the UN Charter, it's against Geneva, and it's against Nuremberg.
And you asked him a tough question. Did you accept his answer, namely that he didn't come into the presidency believing he was going to go to war against Saddam Hussein, but after 9/11, his worldview changed?
It doesn't parse. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. It was secular, it was not tied to Al-Qaeda. I think he wanted to go into Iraq. He had all the neoconservatives advising at the top of their agenda for Project for a New American Century. First Iraq, then Iran, then Syria, then Iran, and so forth.
So you believe even before 9/11, he wanted to take out Saddam Hussein?
Oh, I think that's very clear. You couldn't sit in that press room day after day. Every time it was mentioned by Ari Fleischer or Scott, they would say in one breath, 9/11 Saddam Hussein, 9/11 Saddam Hussein. Nothing would deter him. It was a very big goal.
Your decision to invade Iraq has caused the deaths of thousands of Americans and Iraqis. Wounds of Americans and Iraqis for a lifetime. Every reason given, publicly at least, has turned out not to be true. My question is, why did you really want to go to war? Mm-hmm. From the moment you stepped into the White House, yeah. From your cabinet, former cabinet officers, intelligent people, and so forth. Mm-hmm. What was your real reason? You have said it wasn't oil, quest for oil. It hasn't been Israel or anything else. What was it?
I think your premise, and all due respect to your question and to you as a lifelong journalist, is that, you know, I didn't want war. To assume I wanted war is just flat wrong, Helen, in all due respect. No, hold on for a second, please. Excuse me. No president wants war. Everything you may have heard is that, but it's just simply not true.
Every time I saw TV or I read the newspaper, there were all these stories about Stevie and the raper, the Zerscon connection and the Peter Wright case, the loony left council with the budget in disgrace. I ask myself, what am I to believe? When the cancer is a killer, John Player wins the league, with Masters of the Universe and Designer Death, they all keep talking about Princess Di's dress.
Yes, I'm very not impressed.
Younger, I knew just who to hate. From the teachers in our classroom to the leaders of our state, I'm registered to vote. This pleasant land's free, so I took the intercity for democracy and me. My knocking at the door, but they didn't let me in, so I kicked it down and I walked right in. She was standing at the bar while Healy cut his crust. Question time, Mikey Burke.
You know, we used to think we were secure. On September 11, 2001, that killers could destroy innocent life. And I'm never going to forget the vow I made to the American people. I meant to make sure that we didn't allow people to provide safe haven to an enemy, and that's why I went into Iraq. Hold on for a second. Look. Excuse me for a second, please. They did. The Taliban provided safe haven for Al-Qaeda. That's where Al-Qaeda trained and... Afghanistan provided safe haven for Al-Qaeda.
I just want to know, who's in control? Is it you or God or the bloke down the door? Her answers were shite, but I didn't give up. So I went to the Lord, but it didn't wake up. So I went to the palace, met good Queen Bess. She asked me to dance, said she'd like a rest. Boy, D, you'll be king.
That's where they trained, that's where they plotted, that's where they planned the attacks that killed thousands of innocent Americans. I also saw a threat in Iraq. I was hoping to solve this problem diplomatically. That's why I went to the Security Council. That's why it was important to pass 1441, which was unanimously passed. And the world said, disarm, disclose, or face serious consequences. And therefore, we worked with the world. We worked to make sure that Saddam Hussein heard the message of the world. And when he chose to deny inspectors, when he chose not to disclose, then I had the difficult decision to make to remove him. And we did. And the world is safer for it.
Preemptive war, and it certainly is against international law. It's against the UN Charter, it's against Geneva, and it's against Nuremberg. In this case, in the case of the president and his cohorts, I think they have really encouraged all of the horror that's going on. We have killed so many innocent people.
But you can't forget 9/11, 3,000 people
were killed. But the Iraqis didn't do it.
Today, this is as good as it's going to get in Iraq.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. The United States and our allies have prevailed. And war is what they got.
I'm a war president. I make decisions here in the Oval Office and inform policymakers with war on my mind. War on my mind.
And war is what they got.
War on my mind.
The fighting has been tough. The enemy has proved brutal and relentless. We have changed our approach in many areas to reflect the hard realities on the ground.
Civil war is not going to bring any good, right? We got to work together. Shia, Sunni, coalition for the future.
All of this was predictable. All of this was predictable. But now that we're there, we need to understand this. Today, this is as good as it's going to get in Iraq. Today is worse than yesterday, but it's better than tomorrow. When do we get out of Iraq? Now. We need to understand that Iraq is a nation on fire. It's burning from top to bottom. And the fuel that feeds this fire is the presence of American troops. The only way to put this fire out is to separate the fuel from the flames, get our boys and girls home now.
Weapons of mass destruction. Too many people are dying daily around the world because of this lie.
We all here ask to support our troops, but really, it's not about that. It's about America going and becoming terrorists themselves.
Fight the fucking front! Fight the fucking front!
That when we talk about war, we're really talking about peace. That when we talk about war,
and
we're really
talking
about peace.
War on my mind.
That when we talk about
war on my mind.
You really want to be a super patriot.
War on my mind.
Join the army of compassion.
War on my mind.
War on my mind.
Today, this is as good as it's going to get in Iraq. Today is worse than yesterday, but it's better than tomorrow.
تفضل يا بوش، شوف هذه المآسي. ترضى بهيجي انت؟ ترضى بهيجي ظلم؟ انت اكو عندك انسانية؟ اذا عندك انسانية تقدر تشوف طفلة وهي تصيح ماما بابا؟ وين الانسانية؟ وين الضمير؟ وين الله؟ وين الله؟ وين الله؟ وين الله؟
écoutez à midi.
Hold on a second. Look, look. Excuse me for a second, please. Excuse me for a second. They did. Alan, excuse me. That's where Afghanistan provided safe haven for Al-Qaeda.
Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. It certainly had. It was secular. It was not tied to Al-Qaeda.
Alan, excuse me. Afghanistan provided safe haven for Al-Qaeda.
Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. It certainly had. It was secular. It was not tied to Al-Qaeda.
Il est midi.
Alan, excuse me. Afghanistan provided safe haven for Al-Qaeda.
Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. It certainly had. It was secular. It was not tied to Al-Qaeda. And it certainly is against international law. It's against the UN Charter, it's against Geneva, and it's against Nuremberg.
Qu'est-ce qu'il y a à manger? Qu'est-ce qu'il y a?
Huge rallies going on right now in California. We have been following the scene in Los Angeles where more than 25,000 people have gathered to protest an immigration bill they say is racist and unfair. We're now also keeping an eye on a similar protest in Sacramento, California, with an estimated 5,000 people taking part in the one in Northern California.
Hello, Contessa. Well, we've gotten a new crowd estimate of up to 100,000 people in the streets of Los Angeles today. And certainly you can see from the live pictures that the crowd stretches on for block after block after block. It is the hugest, the biggest demonstration in Los Angeles in some years, rivaling those from the Vietnam days. Mostly Hispanic people out there protesting the new pending legislation that would crack down on illegal immigration. It would make it a felony to be in this country illegally. It would push for the construction of a 700-mile fence along the U.S.-Mexico border. It would impose new penalties on people who hire undocumented workers. These people are out here protesting, saying that illegal workers are an essential part of the American labor force now, like it or not. Now, while this rally was going on in Los Angeles, in Sacramento, the capital of California, there was a similar, somewhat smaller rally. The early crowd estimate from Sacramento was about 5,000 people. But in streets of cities throughout the United States today, particularly where there are large Latino populations, there are rallies and demonstrations going on against this proposed immigration legislation. We're told that the crowds have been so big, bigger than police departments had anticipated, because these events were heavily promoted on Spanish language radio stations throughout the country. There have been no reports of any violence so far, but just a huge crowd situation, and the police want to try to keep things orderly in downtown Los Angeles today. The organizers of the rally have said that they want to keep things peaceful as well, that this is a noisy but peaceful protest on their part.
Did you feel a common bond with his outlook as an artist?
No. I'm a painter primarily, an abstract expressionist. And there were some connections with visual arts being very much the same as painting, because you are getting away from the two-dimensional space and trying to create three-dimensional space. And I saw those connections, but when it came to performance over painting, I'm kind of the traditional guy of liking to paint.
wrong.
How does it feel to be spaceborn again?
You don't want it to, like, come and get a lollipop. Oh, okay, well then we'll read it very different.
Our tour begins.
Oh.
Here, in this ghostly gallery.
All is not well, Commander. I fear the worst.
Wrong.
How does it feel to be spaceborne again? All is not well, Commander.
Oh.
I fear the worst.
In this ghostly gallery.
Oh, okay, well then we'll read it very differently.
Our tour begins. In this ghostly gallery.
All is not well, Commander.
You don't want it to, like, come and get a lollipop.
How does it feel to be spaceborne again?
Oh, okay, well then we'll read it very differently.
Tour begins here in this ghostly gallery.
Oddly enough, I knew Raymond Lafferty and I did not care for him as an individual. He was vulgar. He was oftentimes very nasty and rude to people. In general, he had a certain kind of twist to him that you could say it's a beautiful day, he'd say it was an ugly day. And I just couldn't put up with the negativity. Did I mention he was an egotistical maniac? Because that's the one thing that sticks out to me the most. But I did appreciate that he was a genius. Oh yes, the man was a complete genius. He once told me, other artists shouldn't even try to create art because he'd already done it by thinking of it, but just didn't want to be bothered to do it. That's the crazy kind of egotistical shit that he would say that just made it ludicrous, but you learned after a while he was a really good singer and a really good painter. But I think out of the two, he was a better tenor.
Mr. President, I stand here before you tonight representing the National Revolutionary Army. To tell you, Mr. President, quite frankly, let my go. Too long have we labored beneath the umbrella of economic despair and decay. Too long have we supped from the cup of cesspool-ridden freedom. We no longer have any concept of our revolutionary roots, and we come before you most humbly, Mr. president to tell you to release us from the laws and ideals of dying Greeks. Let us go.
There's so many examples of artists who have spoken out, either in their art or just as citizens. I mean, it's possible to speak out in your art, and Joseph Heller did it, and Kurt Vonnegut did it in Slaughterhouse-Five. Again, you know, here's the good war, but Kurt Vonnegut writes about the bombing of Dresden, in which perhaps 100,000 civilians. Talk about killing innocent people. 100,000 people die as a result of the British and American bombing raids over Dresden. Now, to write about that and denounce it in nonfiction would have been very, very difficult, again, in that glow of the greatest generation in World War II, a glow which they keep bringing back to us to make any war that we're going through ennobled by its connection with World War II. But Vonnegut could write fiction about the bombing of Dresden, and fiction, of course, which was very, very true. During the Vietnam War, artists spoke out in different ways against the war. Robert Lowell, the poet, was invited to the White House, and he refused to come. Arthur Miller, the playwright, was invited to the White House, and he sent a telegram to the White House. The telegram said, "When the guns boom, the arts die." The singer Eartha Kitt was invited to the Rose Garden. There was a sort of, it was one of those lovely social events taking place during the Vietnam War, and Eartha Kitt, who was just supposed to be a singer, just an artist, not paying any attention to the world, raised her voice and said, "Why are we in Vietnam?" It was shocking. An artist was not supposed to do that. But artists were doing all sorts of things at that time to show that they were citizens and they were thinking outside the boundaries, that they were transcending the given wisdom. There was an artist named Seymour Schwast, who did a poster which was reproduced and reproduced and reproduced all over. It was a very simple poster. And just said, "War is good for business. Invest your son." It was great music that was brought forth during the Vietnam era by artists who insisted on not just being artists and musicians, but who was so moved by what was going on in the world, they had to say something. And so Bob Dylan wrote his song, "Masters of War." I'll just read a little of it. I'm certainly not going to sing it. "Come, you masters of war, you that build the big guns, you that build the death planes, you that build all the bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind desks, I just want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but build to destroy, you play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand, then you hide from my eyes, and you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly." I'm skipping a few stanzas. "You've thrown the worst fear that can ever be hurled, fear to bring children into the world, for threatening my baby, unborn and unnamed. You ain't worth the blood that runs in your veins. Let me ask you one question, is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul."
This has been Mind Walk, an Upstart Radio production.